So, Berto, many people have been asking us to do an episode about Enneagram. Lots of patrons, clinicians, lay people, listeners, lots of excitement about Enneagram. So what do you say we get into it, Berto?
Let's do it.
This is the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I'm a therapist and a professor. Who are you, Umberto?
My name is Umberto Castaneda, and I grow dairy-free mushrooms.
So I had never even heard of Enneagram until, I don't know, maybe like a year ago when someone asked for us to talk about it. Have you heard of it before?
I heard the word, and I thought it was something completely different. I thought it was some medical, angiogram, angiogram.
Isn't there also something called engrams or something?
Engrams. Oh, that was the other thing. I thought this maybe had something to do with Scientology.
I thought it was something like that. Anyway. And when I looked into it, I have discovered that Enneagram is just as popular, or almost as popular, as Myers-Briggs. I was surprised at how many people had actually known about it and had taken it.
Wow.
And I hadn't even heard about it until recently. And it's only because of the listeners that I would have heard about it at all.
Oh.
And, I've been in the field 24 years, never heard of Enneagram. And I've read, hundreds of books on personality, and none of them even mention it. And yet, all these people out there are, my sister, my friends, all the listeners on Facebook, they've all heard about it. So let's get into it. Highly controversial theory. On Reddit, someone asked about Enneagram, and they're like, so basically, for those who don't know, Enneagram is it's similar to Myers-Briggs. It's a way of trying to
determine your personality, basically.
Personality type.
Yeah.
And so on Reddit, they're asking, is it scientifically valid? And one person said, Enneagram is the work of modern spiritual teachers and crackpots. Another person says, Enneagram is not valid. I was just at an Enneagram seminar. The presenter got lost in the morass of sacred numbers and symbols. Another person writes, Enneagram doesn't have to be valid. Science isn't the only way to understand reality. People on Facebook, I asked them what they thought about it. Listeners.
Wait, I love that last one.
Well, how so?
The science isn't the only way to understand reality, that comment. I love it in a sarcastic way because it's like, well, if what you're trying to claim is that this system, whatever you call it, Enneagram, sort of predicts something, that's literally science. Now, your science might be right or wrong. It might predict it. It might not predict it. And then how do you test that it predicts? So it's like you're still trying to use pseudoscience. You just don't realize it.
Yeah, well, so I'll give my thesis right from the start. When I first started looking into it, in my field, when you look at the scientific literature, they will say that it's not valid science. Mm-hmm. That when you look at the claims and the system, that doesn't really hold up. But the thing is that there's a lot of systems that don't really hold up. And I'll get into more later as to why that is. There's personality is very difficult to lock down. Also, there's a way to use a system without claiming it has scientific validity and still believe in it and have it be useful.
What I'm trying to get at is that for a long time in history...
But do you understand what I'm saying?
I definitely do.
And I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, because I'm saying like for a long time in history, we've had things that we didn't know exactly how they worked, but we knew that they were reliable, meaning there's repeatable experiments that would over and over work. And we're like, okay, well, that's a thing. That's still science. It's just we don't know the underlying mechanism for it. So imagine that you actually run these tests and turns out that the predictions you can make using Enneagram results are actually really good, like consistently, test after test after test. You just don't know how it works. Well, that'd be fine. You just don't know how it works. But there's a difference from claiming, hey, we don't have to predict anything. We don't have to be even right about it. Because then it's like, then I don't even know what we're talking about. Then what are we actually even trying to do this for?
Well, I want to get into this later, but in a nutshell, there's a lot of things in psychology that have a hard time lending itself towards any predictions, like psychodynamic theory or attachment theory to some extent. You know, when we look at people and we measure certain things and we develop a certain theory as to what's going on, there's not a strong predicted behavioral connection between, you know, for later mm-hmm. behavior. I'm not wording that right. But anyway, and yet a lot of clinicians will still use it and still find it to be highly useful, and clients will find it to be useful. So now, is there some broader natural system there that is really hard to measure given all the factors and all that kind of stuff, perhaps? And right. and so the point is that I'll get into this later, and I need to move on, is that Enneagram is in that category. Because at first I was like, oh, in my field, we discounted the Enneagram years ago. Mm-hmm. But the more I actually listen to how people use it, I'm like, okay, even though I don't use this, you know, I think it might be able to be used. On Facebook, a lot of positive reviews from the listeners. Lily says, it's the most accurate test I've ever done. Ballas says, all my bad behaviors are explained by it. Adrian says, it's a great tool. I'm type 1. It took me a while to come to terms with that, and also the idea of the Enneagram in general, which is typical of type 1. did that make sense? It took me a while to come to terms with that I'm type 1,
yeah.
and also the idea of the Enneagram in general, which is typical of type 1.
Yeah, meaning that a type 1 might be against doing such things as Enneagram study.
Right. Also, I'm a Christian, and I look forward to hearing you discuss it without the typical Christian narrative that has started to surround it.
Oh, wait, what, what?
Yeah, I didn't know this either, especially within a lot of authors and popular podcasters that currently discuss it. You see a lot of Christians talking about it, workshops also being held at churches, et cetera.
Oh.
So that's kind of interesting.
I didn't know that
Christians in the Christian community, I have some very spotty speculation about that. That you know, Christians in certain you know areas might feel as though psychotherapy in the field of psychology is too left leaning or something,
sure.
or too against Christianity. And there's some concrete reasons for that. Like, you know, our field has come forward and say it's completely unethical to try to therapize away the gay. And yeah. for some people, that's highly hostile to their belief system and their lives. And so Enneagram doesn't, this is total speculation, but Enneagram doesn't really come from our field. And so maybe it's more appealing in that way. Also, Enneagram has roots in religion going back centuries. And so maybe that's why. And, you know, so we'll get into that more later. Colin, our senior Texas Austin correspondent, says, finding out I was a 4 on the Enneagram scale was very beneficial. I got my family to take it, and our labels made so much sense. It was like a map of our personalities and how they intersected. Had been laid out for us by an emotional cartographer. That's when I found something else out about the Enneagram scale is that it connects people. Okay, but some people not so positive on Facebook. Valerie says, I don't hold a lot of confidence in personality tests in general. MD says, as a therapist and a consumer, I find it useful and curious. As a skeptic and scientist, I find it curious and probably limited in reliability and validity. My friend Amy Keith says, I question its validity. I think it's just the Barnum effect, and we'll get into that more later. So we're going to look into this in this episode. What is this theory of personality? What is Enneagram? What is the theory exactly? What's the history? Is it valid? What's the science around it? What type is Umberto? What type is Kirk? I just referred to myself in the third person. What type am I? What type are you out there? We're going to go through all the 9 types, and maybe you'll discover something about yourself in this episode. Also, how can this model be helpful at all? We're going to talk about the theory, the history. I'm going to critique it. We're going to talk about our types. We're going to analyze the people around us. And again, how this might be used to, you know, help us have more fulfilling lives. This episode is just for patrons of the podcast, though.
Oh.
So if you aren't a patron of the podcast, this episode's going to end soon.
Can I do a thing where, like, I say, and my type is, and it, like, ends?
It's a cliffhanger, yeah. Well, you just did. So if you want to listen to this whole episode, you have to become a patron of the podcast by going to patreon.com. When you become a patron, you get access to arguably our 250 best episodes that are only available to patrons. and you don't have to listen to ads. And you also know that certain amount of your pledge goes towards various charities that we support, including scholarships for students who need it in the field. So go to Patreon, do it now, and, you know, listen to the rest of this episode and find out what type you are.
That's right. And also, you'll get the benefit that I'll refer to myself in second person the whole rest of the episode.